Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP. One-A-Day Weight Loss, structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP1A Day Weight Loss.com. Open line Thursday here on the Junkies. You can chime in on anything you want at 800-636-1067. We got a tweet here from one of our listeners who says he's heading to the Quicken Loans. And he says, when Tiger rips a drive, should he yell, oh, yeah, or Valdez?
Oh, definitely Valdez. You have to yell Valdez.
I hate to encourage it because I do hate that behavior. But if you're gonna do a Junkies related, it's got to be a Valdez.
Or something with Drab, because he's very slighted by someone yelling Valdez. Because
trying to be magnanimous here?
I'm just trying to share the wealth.
Yeah. No, because I always maintained that guy wasn't shouting Valdez.
Can you play it again? There's 100% chance he was. It was in D.C., wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was at Congo.
What do you think he's shouting?
I don't know what he's shouting. Why would a P1 who would go out and shout Valdez at an event never claim his fame?
It's just a hit and run.
I don't know.
Nah,
the guy was just drinking.
25 short of front edge. That was some tee shot. Yep. Tiger going with the iron. Just a little smooth 3-iron here yesterday.
I mean,
it's clear as day.
No, there's no E's on the end.
Perfectly timed.
No Z on the end.
There is no Z on the end.
There's no Z on the end. Listen again.
Do it again.
Valdez.
Did you do it slow? Did we ever go through it in slow?
Yeah, we need to break the
set. Tiger going with the iron. Just a little smooth 3-iron here yesterday.
Valdez! I think he's doing it
again.
By the way, is there any way that... There's no way that Awad knows what the Zapruder film reference is.
No.
Does he? It's impossible that he knows that.
Look at that confused
look
on his face.
There's no way he knows that reference.
Now, it has to do with film, so maybe he will.
I don't think he knows it.
I'm thinking it's like a prison break-in or something.
Yeah.
Prison break-in?
Yeah, break-in.
Because people love breaking into prison.
So hold on. So you've never heard of the Zapruder film?
I have. I have no clue what it references.
Okay.
Zapruder is obviously the name of somebody, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever... Do you know any presidents who were assassinated?
Yeah.
Can you name them?
Name a couple.
Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
I mean, if I didn't get that, come on.
Yeah.
JFK.
Right.
Ooh, there's another one? Not Taft?
No. Don't worry about that.
Let's focus on JFK.
Now go back to the Zapruder film.
What do you think the Zapruder
film? Oh, the Zapruder film is the belief that there were two shooters, right?
That's not the belief.
It's the whole conspiracy theory.
Oh, no.
It's the actual
Zapruder
film.
I believe the guy's name was his name George Zapruder.
Don't
it was know. Just a guy who had a little handheld little camera, and he's the one that has like the grainy video of him being shot that everyone
back into the left.
Back to the left and everything.
Abraham.
Thanks for being on, George.
Yeah, somehow he didn't run out of battery for his film when he needed it. No, I will say Awad did a very good job at the Purple Heart Open this year.
Right.
Apparently Awad was about to get lucky last night. Do you want to fill us in or fill the audience in on what happened last night?
Where'd you go? Last night was a Wednesday night.
You
go out on a Wednesday night?
I play in a Wednesday night kickball league. It's on the
such a millennial thing to do.
It's on the Washington the Mall,
right?
The grassy
the Washington the Mall.
I forget the Pentagon Mall. It's
the Pentagon Mall.
No, it's
Pentagon City,
the Washington Monument.
You went to the mall?
Mall.
It's the mall.
It's the Capitol.
The mall. It's
I still don't understand
why
it's called
Chuck
the mall.
Cheese? Wait, where'd you go?
It's not called the Capitol Mall. It's not called the Pentagon City Mall.
Right.
It's just the mall.
I don't understand why it's a mall. It should be a grassy land.
It's the mall.
Okay. It's just what they call it.
That's all you need to know.
His dad is a tour guide in D.C.
Yeah. I know.
He's just an idiot.
My dad's told me 100 times about it. But
yeah.
So I go to the kickball league there, and the D.C. phrase, the best kickball league, because it's nothing but girls and like bros.
I have to say, it's a good move for a young single guy, like a loser. It's
right.
A good move. Yeah.
So...
And it's not really like a sport.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
So
he can be unathletic
it's
and
casual.
Right.
Yeah. I show my athletic skills out there because I play left field.
Right.
And so
left field. Does the ball ever get to left field?
Left out.
But go ahead.
So, you know, we're drinking, having a good time, and I'm meeting. It's the first.
So hold on. Do they allow like open container drinking at these
things
on the
mall? They have a policy where they look the other way.
That's what it is. That's kind of what Chief Discretion said. So what do people do? Do
they drink out of solo cups.
They drink out of solo cups.
That's exactly what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I'm smart. Yeah.
So this was the first game of the new season, so I was meeting new people and new girls on the team. And then afterwards, everyone goes to this one bar.
What's the spot?
It's called Hamilton's.
All right.
And you go upstairs, and it's a flip cup tournament. So you like...
Is it Hamilton's or is it the Hamilton?
No, it's not that the silly place.
Right, okay.
It's a different
I got
Hamilton.
Confused on the way.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
So we go upstairs and you actually play Flip Cup against the team that you basically just played in kickball. So it's like you kind of can get revenge on in drinking games. And so it's
everybody's
actually,
about your age, too,
everyone's
right?
about my age. It's a party.
But way more successful.
Right. We're meeting people. We're talking. I'm flirting. And I meet this girl and, you know.
What does she look like?
She was very cute.
Right.
Do you have pics?
No, she's thick.
She doesn't exist.
With a cute face.
She's probably not on social media again.
Right. I didn't ask for her social media.
Give
account,
us a celebrity comp. Who you think she might look like, if you can pull that.
Who's the big girl from Pitch Perfect?
No.
Rebel Wilson.
She was more of a thick Megan Fox.
A thick Megan Fox?
Yeah, oh, my God.
What is that? What's a thick Megan Fox?
Well, like Megan Fox brunette. Is a 10.
Like how thick?
No, like the right thick.
Was she like, was she like a, I don't know. I'm trying to think here. Was she?
She was a solid 7.
I paid for you.
Was
she,
sure.
Now, was she thick or was she BBW?
No.
Big difference.
No. They call it felt. That's what she was. She was thick in all the right places.
All right, whatever. So what happened?
So basically everyone's at the bar drinking, and at 9:30 I'm like, you know, I got to go home, and she says, I want you to stay and have another drink with me. So that's when I'm thinking, all right, it's on. And so I stay there for another hour, we're drinking, playing Flip Cup, and the whole team decides to go back to this one guy's house in Arlington. And she lives in D.C., but yet I convinced her to get in the Uber with us, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'll get you an Uber back later.
So you're now going to somebody else's house.
Yeah, so now we all pile in this Uber. We go back to our friend's house. We open up a glass of wine. It's like 11 o'clock.
So how many people
open up a glass of wine?
Open up a bottle. There's 6 of us. Yeah. All right, and there's like 2 girls. One of them's dating the guy that lives there.
The other girls, are they thick too? Or
no.
They're silly.
No, I mean, my girl was silly. All right?
Is yours a thick looking Megan Fox? Or like a thin Brendan Sheriff?
No. Thick Megan Fox.
Really? Okay. All right. I'm just asking.
So
go ahead.
That's when I'm really like starting to flirt with her, because I got my alone time with her. We're talking. Everyone's playing video games, and I'm just kind of like trying to convince her to come back to my house, right? Because I live just a few blocks away.
Can I just interject for a second?
Yeah.
We are married guys, and I get it. He's younger. He's in his 20s.
Yeah.
Doesn't that lifestyle sound miserable?
Sounds horrible.
I think it's silly because you're meeting a new girl every night.
I mean, we did that in our early 20s.
Yeah.
So, all right.
He's at a rando's house. They're playing video games.
What's everybody playing for?
And it's 11 o'clock.
And it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Yep. And so she's kind of giving signals that she wants to get out of the situation. And so I'm like,
how is she giving a signal?
She's just saying, I got to go home soon. I mean, I got to leave soon.
Yeah,
I
got to go home.
Right. Yes.
Right.
But so I convinced her.
And Adam sees that as, she wants to go back to my house.
Right.
And
let's get
bang.
Away from you.
Quit imprisoning me.
Right. Sounds like real peach.
Right. I'm like, well, why don't you walk with me back to my house? It's only a few blocks away. And so she agrees. And while we're walking back, I mean, we're flirting, holding hands. I gave her a kiss. It was locked up in the bag. And it's like a 6 or 7 block walk. She started complaining that it was walked too far, but then finally got to my
didn't
apartment complex.
Didn't you earlier say you were going
to
get an Uber and then
yeah,
you skated your way out with a walk?
Yeah, I thought the walk was kind of romantic.
Right, all right.
Apparently she did.
I just wanted alone time with her so
were
I could
close. Were you hammered?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Was she?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm thinking this is couldn't be easier. She's actually one of the best-looking girls I've kissed in, like, 2 months. Or right. 2 years.
Right.
And so I finally get her back to my apartment complex, and we go through the front door, and I think, all right, I got to make a move as soon as we get in my house. She walks in the door, and the first thing she says is, "Oh my God, I was gonna bang you, but your apartment is too dirty." And then she continues to Joan on me and says, "Seriously, you have sex with girls here in this place? When was the last time?"
Oh my
and
God!
So I'm telling her.
So you blew your opportunity because you have stuff strewn
so you're
all
still,
over the apartment.
But she's now she's brought up the sex topic though.
Yeah,
I would think you would still would have an opportunity because now she's brought that topic up. Now you could swoop in with some sort of line.
Do you have her number?
Yeah.
You need to do is clean your house. No, and make
I
look
start
really good
cleaning
and
immediately.
Send her a text.
Well, hold on. As she's saying that, how are you trying to recover?
I mean, I was just getting joned on for 10 minutes straight.
Right.
About how she kept saying that you have a really nice bachelor pad if it didn't look like a rat's nest. And
right.
rat's nest.
Like, she's like, "You really expected me to get it in with you? Like, come on."
And have with you guys this place, ever looking vacuumed? This, how many guys live there?
Three guys.
Have you
yeah,
guys...
we vacuumed. Here was the issue is that we pre-gamed at my house, so there was like 15 beer cans and McDonald's on the coffee table.
Sexy.
She did not get sized for that at all.
Right.
And in your room, I'm
well,
guessing.
What about in your room?
Your
room's a pig size.
She didn't even
right?
make it to my room.
She didn't
okay,
make it
there's
to
probably
room.
Clothes all over the floor.
Right.
There's,
I mean,
clothes there's a closed corner.
I've said right. this many
Everyone
times.
Has that.
The tell on AWOD is that if you ever look at his car, the bumper stickers are crooked. First of all, his bumper stickers. He has a dangling license plate.
You and still do. You only have like one bolt holding the license.
I only have one bolt, but that's a tight bolt.
After yeah. all this time, yes. it's been dangling for like a year.
Right.
Yeah. I
and
like
then
it.
If you
can't
actually
you get like a ticket for that for not having it like properly affixed.
No, I've talked to the police about it. They.
You have.
Yeah.
You talked to lie. The police
because that one time I ran out of gas outside the Pentagon, and then cops came.
Yeah.
And then they were like, "No way, you're AWOD from the Junkies. This is such an AWOD thing to run out of gas
you're
in the
kidding.
Highway."
That happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Arlington police.
You talk
staff.
To the police about it as a lie.
Oh my God!
And the other thing is, I would guess. So if you get beyond the bumper stickers and the license plate, when you actually look inside the car, my guess is if you open the passenger side, something's falling out.
Oh yeah,
so
like
much
McDonald's
crap.
Wrappers are falling
right.
out, right?
You
like
know what
that?
I mean, like,
is that what I bet you. Is that how your dad's car is?
No. My dad's actually the opposite of me.
What does Maury's car look like? First
my
of all,
dad's car's
he,
silly.
What is
my
he
mom's
pushing?
The sloppy?
What does
slop?
Maury drive?
He drives a Volkswagen, a little silly Jetta.
Okay. All right, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
And I get it.
Does he keep it nice and clean, or does he keep it like you?
He keeps it very clean. Hey, I'm telling you, my mom is the gene that gave me the slob.
I get it. You're 25 or 26, and you live on your own, and it doesn't matter. But to me, it is a tell in life. Do you make your bed?
No.
No.
I'm not going to kill you
Do
for
I
that.
Make my bed?
I'm not going to kill you
Serious?
For that. I'm not kidding. I never made my bed when I was your age.
He probably doesn't even know how to make a bed.
No, I do know how to fold the corners and tuck it in.
No, you don't have to be perfect, but at least put the bedspread up.
I'm going
to
say it's standard for guys his age not to make their beds. JP, you're an outlier.
I'm going to guess the last time you washed your sheets was never.
That's a great
no,
guess.
I washed
yeah, when's
my
the last
sheets,
time you washed them?
Like 4 weeks ago after I brought home the pig.
Oh, right.
I watched them.
Well,
like,
how was this one compared to the pig?
I mean, this girl was so attractive.
When you prepped
she
it
really
right
was.
From the beginning, you just put it right out there. She was thick.
Yeah,
that
but,
makes me think.
No, good thick, like athletic body thick. I mean, she was wearing yoga pants and
right?
was thick in the back.
Right.
So I was butt size for her.
Right. How was her face?
Cute,
attractive.
Yeah.
He said
yeah.
Megan Fox.
Yeah, that was a stretch, but she's very cute.
Yeah,
so was she like brunette?
Yeah.
So that's the Megan Fox part.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. The brown hair.
But
just,
look,
it's a shocker he doesn't have pictures.
Yeah,
I got her number. She went home upset because she definitely was in the mood until she saw my apartment.
Have her text you a picture if you have her
Rat's
number.
Nest.
Have her text her.
Text? Have her text you a
or,
picture
or,
of her.
Tell her you want to hit her up on social media.
I can do that, yeah.
Yeah, find
That's
her.
Hurting, Cakes. You don't ask for Send me a selfie. Like, what?
I don't know. Some sort of photographic evidence that this person exists.
Yeah, just whatever it is, whatever you
I'll
guys do.
I'll see her
do.
Next Wednesday at kickball.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Why don't you didn't text her last night and say sorry?
No.
I promise I'll have the place clean next time.
I think the move is you clean it up and take a picture and say, check out my place.
I think that's a good move, JP. I'm going to clean the place.
Clean.
I was so embarrassed.
I hope you strike out
She's gonna
at kickball
say,
next week.
She'll say, who is this?
Right.
Because she was so drunk, she didn't remember where
that's
she was.
That
was
there's going to be no follow-up, right?
Yeah.
That was her one
That
was, that
was
one what, chance.
Yeah.
And it's over.
She was going to make a bad decision.
Yep.
She was,
yeah.
And now she's wise
yeah,
now.
Yeah, now she's right. sobered up. And she's right. like,
I know,
because
the whole walk home she was doing, you know I have to leave eventually.
What does she do for a living?
something. He never finds out.
I don't really figure out that until like the second date kind of thing.
Which usually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you ask any? Do you ask any questions about them to show like feign interest?
Ask,
I know you don't care, but
I ask where they go to college. She went to Tennessee.
She went to Tennessee.
Oh, she loves Rocky Top.
Rocky Top.
She gets butt size.
Just to rewind, how did you do in kickball?
Her and Dan Helly.
I know a lot of thick girls that went to Tennessee.
How did you do in kickball? We once had a very heated incident between EB and Brett, who was on the show earlier, because EB whiffed in kickball. Did that happen to you?
No, our team won 10-4,
I said, 0-2.
I kicked it two pop-ups to center field.
You sound like Bryce.
I got a hold of one of them, but
A-Wad Harper over there.
All right.
He says pop-up to center field.
We'll follow up with this, see if anything happens. It's on Wednesday nights now? This is the new thing?
This is the new thing.
But tonight,
do you know anybody else on the team?
Yeah, most of the guys went to JMU. Okay. Some work at Booz Allen.
Right. They all have, like, real lives going on.
Well, JMU.
On.
Yeah, I mean, they're all paying for the league. They let me play for free.
They do.
I was the ultimate hook job.
Right. How did you meet them?
Are these guys you live with?
They live with my college roommate.
Got you.
So mutual friends. And they said, A-Wad, we need you on the team so you don't have to pay. We need your foot.
I'm sure they need your foot. Your pop-up foot.
I will say, surprisingly, I will give him a little props. Back when I used to play soccer occasionally with some of the radio guys, including Drab, A-Wad was surprisingly skilled. Now, he was not in shape.
No, I'm slow, but I'm deceptively quick.
I don't know about that.
I don't even think that's
true. I get
true.
From point A to B real quick, but A, B, and C, it's going to take me too long.
Yeah, and then he's going to take a 10-minute break.
In other words, you're out of shape.
In other words, he can trap the ball, and he can have like one dribble, and then somebody's going to take it.
Right, right. And in basketball, I can do my quick one step, and then I have to pull up, or they're going to catch up.
And then you puke off to the side.
Right. All right, well, just keep us updated.
Okay.
All right. But
clean my room.
I think on this show, you're 0-600. But, you know, keep us updated.
I think I'm like 4-600.
But is it really his fault, though? Because if he's in a common area with two other roommates, you know, the other roommates could be making the place dirty, too.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's always a mess.
He left the place.
It wasn't immaculate and then just some McDonald's and leftover Solo cups.
Yeah,
it was a dump.
Yeah.
She walked in there, and believe me, I lived in a dump for 5. I know a dump. I lived in the worst dump.
It's not like it was sparkling clean, and there was one little spot where there are 15 beer cans.
No, she saw the couch
McDonald's
and was
wrappers.
Like, that's the nubbiest couch I've ever seen. She saw the carpet and was like, ugh, what's all that stuff?
Yeah.
It was beyond the McDonald's.
I mean, I get it, but like, you know, I lived in a house where there was mold on the walls. There was mold in the bath. There was mold everywhere. We had a million roaches in the kitchen. I know what a dump is. That's what you live in.
I took a picture of my living room so you guys could see why she was so disgusted.
The squalor that you
send
live
it
in?
Ship it, Drabby.
Why don't you post that on her Facebook page,
too? Please, no.
Yes.
Bring it in here,
Facebook.com/thejunks. All right, remember, Mike Rizzo is joining us at 9. We will get into the Washington Nationals. Also, Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post at 8:40.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. You want to chime in? 800-636-1067 is the number. We have Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post joining us. In about 15 minutes, we'll talk about, what is the actual tournament called this weekend?
The Quicken Loans National.
Quicken Loans National.
Ricky.
Featuring Tiger Woods. Talk to him about the Nationals as well. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. An article in the Washington Post about the Washington Wizards by Jerry Brewer. And he says that the Wizards are beginning to take the necessary steps to catch up with the NBA, trading away kind of an old plotting big in Marcin Gortat, bringing in Austin Rivers, just kind of the direction of the league where it's more positionless and guys who can shoot threes. There's also kind of the speculation, this is in the Ringer, that DeMarcus Cousins could be their next target.
Mm.
I'm not really sure how this works. Like, the Pelicans, I guess it would have to be some sort of sign and trade. The Pelicans would have to be in. Like, they don't want to keep DeMarcus Cousins, which I can see, because the Pelicans actually thrived after DeMarcus Cousins went down. Anthony Davis, of course, was an MVP candidate this year, and they
So what's the scenario? How would it play out? It'd have to be a sign and trade deal?
I guess you'd have to probably move one of your max contract guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent at this point, and he's also coming off an Achilles tear, which is something that you have to worry about. Is he going to be the player that he was before he went down? It's a pretty significant injury.
So he hasn't played since.
Washington, I've seen, though, video of him doing things. Like, he's been rehabbing hard. Washington would need to dump nearly $28 million in salary cap.
The DeMarcus Cousins, the numbers, career-wise, they're outrageous.
Eye-popping. They're crazy numbers.
And he still, as of last year, he's only 27 years old.
Right.
He's a tantalizing talent.
I mean,
the numbers are crazy.
Now, he's a full-on nightmare for Scott Brooks. Now, when he's on the court and playing, he's an asset. Now, he's a guy who's going to get teed up a bunch, and he's gonna bitch and moan to the officials basically for every call. I mean, he's not alone in that. That happens to a lot of NBA players. But he's a guy that's always on the edge of getting thrown out of a game or getting suspended for however long. And he's a guy that we've heard legendary in the locker room for just being a guy who's a coach killer, uncoachable guy. So you have to take that into account as well. If you're bringing him in, you're bringing in baggage as well.
And it's also remarkable how he has adapted along with the league. And, like, you know, when he came into the league, he attempted a 0.2 three-pointers a game. Last year, he attempted 6.3.
Oh, he's 6.1.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And he knocks them down.
And he gives you 25 and 13.
Yeah.
He's a remarkable talent.
Look, I think if the Wizards are going to go to the next level, they need to do something beyond just bringing the core back.
It's nice
to bring back, you know, Bradley Beal's 25. Can
I don't
better.
Think their plan
Maybe
is to
John
bring back the core.
Better.
When they made this trade for Austin Rivers, it didn't make a lot. It doesn't make a lot of sense. There are too many holes. This is to set the table for another move. It has to be.
I would think so.
It has to be.
And they do need another big. I mean, right now, like, if they started the season right now, if you're not, first of all, you're not going to start Markieff Morris at center, I don't think, in and game out, because you're going to match up against really big guys, and it's just not going to work out game in and game out. It's nice to do that down the stretch of a game, but you're not going to start Markieff Morris at center.
You wouldn't think.
So now you got Jason Smith and Jan Mahimi.
Yeah, it's very thin at center at this point.
No. They got something planned. But give me the scenario, how it works, because
according to this article, again, it's ringer.com, to pull off a sign-and-trade, Washington would need to dump nearly $28 million.
It has to be a sign-and-trade. When was the last time there was a sign-and-trade done? Has there been one done this year? Last year?
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, yeah. The CP3
under the current rules?
Yeah.
But what this article points out is that Houston actually had multiple solid pieces that appealed to the Clippers. Washington has Kelly Oubre Jr. and Thomas Satoransky.
But if he's a here's my question. If he's a UFA, which it appears that he is on SpotTrack.com, why do you have to pull off a sign and trade?
Because you just clear the cap space.
The salary cap room?
Yeah.
You don't have to. If you can dump $28 million,
you can't,
somehow.
But you got to get it back in equal salary. There's no way you can dump it. There's no way you can dump $28 million in salary.
Well, so you could if a team had a ton of cap space. Like, say, the Sacramento Kings, you could trade Otto for
a draft pick,
something terrible, and you'd be able to work it out that way. But it's just too much going on too quickly.
You have to dump, trade Bradley. If you traded Bradley Beal away for a draft choice, a future draft choice, now all of a sudden you have space. But now all of a sudden you have no Bradley Beal.
That's fine. We need the space. We need the space. All right, it's Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. You can chime in on that.
I do think they need to grasp and get creative and figure something out.
They're going
to
do something.
And not do something on the periphery. Like the Austin Rivers deal, that's on the periphery.
Yeah, but they gave away still a pretty big piece, you know, their starting center. They're going to make another
move. Their starting center who is playing less and less.
They need to make a splash. Splashy move.
I'm not sure it's going to be splashy, but there's another fairly significant move coming.
Well, if they sign Boogie Cousins somehow, that's full-on splash.
But, you know, the two guys that I would look at I was looking at the free agent list. Like, if again, I don't know how they pull it off. Please, it seems like they're strapped.
Please don't say Nerlens Noel.
No.
Somebody brought that name up yesterday. I think of him and I just think, yuck. No
two,
thanks.
Two guys that would be great fits. Clint Capella.
Yeah.
Who's proven to be a really good center. He's a shot blocker. He can finish at the rim. He'd be great in a pick
and roll.
I don't
see why Houston would part with him, but
he's a free agent. I don't think Houston wants to part with him. And then the other guy is a guy who came on this year. He's a perfect stretch four now, is Aaron Gordon. They would help the team out.
All right. You could chime in on
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't make him a championship contender,
right.
But there are names that are out there. And there's going to be a flurry of activity really in the next week. Because it usually wraps up by the time you hit like the 4th of July, it's almost done.
You could chime in on that. You could chime in on the AWOD situation. You can chime in on the Nats. We touched on the big leads ranking of head coaches and where Jay Gruden fit in. The World Cup. There's a lot going on. It's open line Thursday. Your chance to hear the show.
Throw out a Junk's hypothetical. Haven't had a good one of those in quite a while. We enjoy those.
Love
we
Junk's do. Hypotheticals. And you can chime in on Brett making a run in a WSOP.
Yeah, good for Brett.
$3,000 event. He's right now, he's 24th in chips.
He's guaranteed
30 people left.
Even if he's the next guy knocked out to walk home with 12 grand in his pocket, which is a very nice score.
Dave, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I want to talk about the dunk yesterday that guaranteed a Mexico 2+ goal victory. Who was that?
That would be the same guy who has a dirty apartment and can't get lucky.
And has no money left, right?
Did you bet on that, Dave?
Yes, sir. I put $50 on it, and well, blame me. I know it's my fault for listening to that donk, but that's what happens.
You put $50 on. See, you cost a listener $50.
$50.
Why don't you pay him back? Why don't you personally pay him back? AWOD.
Well, Dave, you can win it. You can win it back today with Drab's Lock, which is a draw,
either a draw or the under in the Belgium England game,
or parlay him.
Both those teams don't want to have the best record in their division because they would have a tougher draw. So now they want to have a draw.
Let's go to Chris in Tysons. Chris, what's up? It's Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. Chris.
Hey, fellas. I want to talk about the Boogie Cousins situation and the article on the Ringer yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't get terribly into the details of how the Wizards are going to make that trade. But what JP or somebody was saying earlier was right. I mean, they're going to have to find a taker for Otto's corpse and his contract, which is just a disaster at the 20-plus million they're paying him. Where it would work out with New Orleans is if they do the sign-and-trade like Chris Paul and those other players from years past, Cousins can get an extra, I think it may be like an extra year on the deal and some additional money as well. I don't know all the details. But that's the best option for the Wizards. I mean, they obviously need to move Porter. They were in kind of a catch-22 a couple of years ago. I think, you know, kind of almost made the conference finals. I know it's sort of a
decision. Your phone's going in and out. We've talked about it. This team has been kind of stuck. They plateaued at a certain level. I think what he's saying, too, with the salary, I saw ESPN had something about Paul George. So Paul George apparently is opting out of his contract. And for players, if they stay with their current team, if they're a max guy like, say, Paul George, they can sign a 5-year deal where the average is like $35 million. If they go as a free agent somewhere else, like let's say go with the Lakers, they would end up signing only a 4-year deal, making a paltry $32 million. So you certainly can maximize your dollars by staying at home and the length. But it's not like you're crying poor as a free agent signing elsewhere.
Still killing it.
Let's go to Steve in Fredericksburg. Steve, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks. Hey, thanks, man.
I got a couple of how-can-you questions. One of them for AWOD. How can you, at that age, and with his skill set in quotations, leave your house looking like that with the intention of bringing somebody back there?
It's a great point.
It's a good question. I don't understand that.
He didn't have the expectation. He said it a couple times. He didn't expect to bring a girl back.
Right. I left for kickball to go, you know, show my athletic ability, meet some new girls, hopefully get a number. I did not expect her to be all over
me. The bar is so low for him, Steve, that he doesn't expect it.
Yeah, but at that age, you've got to at least, there might be, you know.
Prepare for the one-outer.
There might be some crazy, you never know when anything's going to happen.
Right.
I was hoping she was drunk enough she wouldn't notice.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any protection back at the house?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You're prepared in that sense?
I'm prepared in that sense, yes.
But you're not fully prepared. You got to get your crib clean.
Right.
No girl wants to go in there and see a dump like that.
I'm prepared with protection and with a bottle of Jack next to my bed.
Protection is the last thing. The first thing is, you know, bringing someone back to the not a pigsty, basically.
Right. Imagine if your place was silly. Your chances, instead of being neutral, would actually go up.
Right. Most people try to impress
exponential.
Women.
Yeah.
Right.
You went negative.
Believe me, she said this last night. She said, you're actually pretty cute. You could get with a lot of girls if your place didn't look like this.
You blew it.
She said you could get with a lot of girls.
It sounds like exaggeration.
Yes. No. Call the lie detector.
What girl said
yeah, by the way, what girl that's getting ready to go bang him would say you could bang a lot of girls?
Right.
It makes zero sense.
Again.
I'm not lying. As soon as she said that, I grabbed her and kissed her.
It's going to be a big fabrication.
He's lying. He's a good liar.
Yeah, he's lying.
Right, what was your second thing, Steve?
I believe he's a masterful liar.
I listen to all the shows. You guys always talk about what can the Wizards do? And does anybody really think that they're going to be, you know, put through the embarrassment of getting rid of their three max contracts that are just kind of a little bit above average at best? I mean, it's going to be so embarrassing for them if they – any one of those three, if they got rid of them, I just don't see Ernie Grunfeld doing that because he would just make himself look bad.
They've done it before.
I don't see anybody else want to pay the money.
They've done it. Ernie's done it before. They used to have the big three with Caron Butler,
Antoine Jameson.
No, who was Antoine?
That, like, 1995.
And slowly but surely, let those guys go.
I think if they had a good deal on the table, they would do it. They wouldn't just not do it because they don't want to be embarrassed to admit a mistake. They wouldn't say it was a mistake.
Yeah, hopefully they do what's in the best interest of the team.
They would just say, yeah, we thought this made the team better.
Yep. All right, join us next. We will talk about the Quicken Loans National. We'll talk some Tiger Woods. We will talk some Nationals. Barry Zvarluga from the Washington Post here on the Junkies.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Don't forget, Mike Rizzo will join us in just about 15 minutes. But right now, happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Barry Zvarluga, Washington Post sports columnist. Check out his latest column that was posted yesterday for Tiger Woods' event in D.C. This is it, and that's a shame. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Great, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we are. Thanks, man. You know, it is kind of sad. I'm feeling kind of melancholy this week because, you know, I've grown up in this area basically my entire life. And I have memories of my dad taking me out to Congressional of the old Kemper Open. He was 15, you know, I was 15 years old. He'd sit by a tree and I'd walk around and follow Greg Norman or John Daly or Ben Crenshaw or whatever. And then, you know, we had kind of a rich tradition of golf here. Every maybe 10 years or so, we have a major. You know, it's pretty special. And then to think that this could be it with such little fanfare, with a tournament that's now, you know, Tiger's hosting this event, Barry, and it's him, Ricky Fowler, and nobody else. Man, we're really going out with a whimper here.
That's exactly the word I was just going to use. I mean, and I think it feels that way, not only cast against everything that you said about growing up here and, you know, bringing your kids and wandering around and learning a bit about the players and what it takes to compete on the PGA Tour and the shots they hit and all that kind of stuff, but you cast it against where we were 11 years ago when Tiger and his foundation essentially saved PGA Tour golf in the district or in Washington, and not only that, like, made it feel like, holy cow, we're going to have a tentpole event on the PGA Tour because, you know, Jack Nicklaus always had the Memorial in Columbus and Arnold Palmer always had the tournament at Bay Hill in Orlando, and they were going to sit in rocking chairs and tell stories and get old and welcome, you know, a new generation of players to their tournament that's felt special because of them. That's what you figured it would be like with Tiger here. There was no reason to doubt that. And then early on, you got really good winners. Anthony Kim, who was an up-and-coming star, and then Tiger beat him the next year, and Justin Rose has won this event. It felt like a big deal, and to see it kind of going out and with more of a fizzle is surprising when you think about what it looked like it would become.
It's weird because, you know, normally if Tiger had an event and he asked you to play in the event, you know, Rory would come, Justin Rose would come. So either he's completely lost his power amongst these guys, which I don't believe can possibly be true. Or Tiger knows the writing's on the wall and he just saved it and didn't even bother to ask, because the field should be stronger with Tiger
headlining
it. But
also they value the calendar more than Tiger, because the calendar puts it right before the British.
I get it, but Tiger could still lean on Justin Thomas or Jordan. Or, I mean, these guys have all been here before. I'm not sure about Justin, but Jordan certainly has. Rory has. Justin Rose. Why did no one else answer the call, or did Tiger not call?
So Tiger's in an odd spot there, and the answer is he doesn't call, because he knows how important his schedule is to him and constructing it to meet his needs and all of that. So he is extremely reluctant to lean on players to play here. And I get that. But I think if you care about your tournament and you see the fields that you're getting, maybe you don't lean on a Justin Rose who's approaching 40 and has a family and plays some of his golf in Europe. And you know, I get that. But couldn't you lean on a Patrick Reed or somebody who's a little younger and maybe owes a little bit more to you? Or would look up to you in a different way. You're not a peer. You're more of the next generation. I think he could have done that. But also, you know, it's impossible to overstate, that this event was doomed by not being able to get out of this date. And I think if Tiger had not had his personal issues back in 2009 and therefore lost some, not only his luster, but his power, to be honest, I think Tiger and his foundation would have been able to push the tour to say, hey, this date does not work for us. And we both know that you want a Tiger Woods hosted event. And you want it to be one of the major events on the tour. Let's figure out how we get out of that date. I think that would have been a huge change for how players viewed the event and what the field ended up being.
But I also have to believe if he was leaning on players, which you say he's not, they might come back with the retort, well, you haven't played in half of them.
Well, that was because of injury almost every time.
That's the only reason. He missed it because of injury, and then last year because he was going through whatever he was going through in terms of managing his pain medications.
Right.
So was that a factor in, whether this tournament had buzz in a given year? Of course it was, because it's a binary thing. If Tiger plays, there's some buzz. If he doesn't, there's less. I mean, that's a very easy equation. But it's not like he was like, I don't feel like playing in my own event. He would have played every year had he been healthy.
Right.
Barry, one of the nuggets you have in your column was from 2012, when the derecho ripped through the area and damaged the golf course, and the third round had to be played without a gallery. Our resident golf expert, Matt Valdez, I remember, went out to the event, and he's following Tiger Woods. He came back in and told us you could basically hear a pin drop out on the course. Just one of the kind of the quirky things about the history of this event.
You might have that feeling today when you go out there.
It's possible.
That was such a weird day, and so many trees were down at Congressional, and they decided, well, we can play the event safely, but we can't have, 30,000 people roaming around here. I remember on the sixth hole, Tiger chipped in for eagle, I believe, and it was the normal thing where, those roars that he gets are very distinct, and there were a handful of media and some volunteers and maybe 40 people greenside, and that was it. There was no roar. It still counted as an eagle. But just a weird day. A thing you might get nostalgic about as we get to the close of this film.
Now, all that being said, Tiger is here to play some golf, and I've been my entire life a huge Tiger fan, Tiger supporter. Even with all the trials and tribulations, the guy on the golf course is just unbelievable, and I've been blown away at what he's been able to do so far this year. He's only missed two cuts. He missed at the Open. I didn't think he was going to do well there. It's just too rigorous of a test at this point in the comeback. So far, Barry, he's had weeks where he's putted great. He's had weeks where he's really hit the irons great. He's had weeks even where he's hit the driver well. He just hasn't put it all together. Could this be the week with the weaker field, maybe, where that could factor in? I'm not sure that the field will affect whether or not he could put those three together, but maybe this would be a great week to do it.
Well, I'd say two things on that. One, his putting, he admits his last four tournaments has not been good, and that's been a kind of a line of demarcation. He putted pretty well the two times he contended,
right,
in Tampa and then in Orlando. So if he gets that, he's maybe switching putters. He was messing around with three different putters on the putting green yesterday. We're not sure what he's going to put in the bag. But I would say the other thing that would be super important for him and is always a question is how does he hit the driver? Because at this course, and this place is no joke, man. I don't like playing it because it's so hard. And then with the spring that we've had and then even some wet weather this week, the rough at
TPC Potomac
is just so thick.
Yeah.
So if he sprays it's not U.S. Open rough, like, maybe at Oaklawn, but it's not that far short of it. So if he sprays driver, it's going to be penal. And that's true of the entire field. Somebody's going to have to drive it straight to win this this tournament. Keep in mind, when it was played here last year, Kyle Stanley won it, and he won it with a score of 7-under over four rounds. That, for a regular PGA Tour stop, is a remarkably high score. So it's going to, it's not going to be a 19-under birdie fest. It's definitely a tough test, and he's going to have to drive it straight.
Right.
That's Barry Svrluga from the Washington Post. Thanks for joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep. All right. Coming up next, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, right here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.